Hi, I'm Dr. Lynn Wagner.
And I'm James Lohmiller. In the chaos of today, sometimes it's hard to really know who you are and what you want to be.
Join us, the doctor
and the stylist,
as we come together from very different worlds to guide you towards a life of authenticity and true health.
Let's go.
Gorgeous.
Yeah.
Everyone's talking about how, what are you going to do? It's going to be so cold this weekend. And I'm like, giddy up. I'm not working this weekend, so I don't care.
Maybe go outside, do a little earthing.
Finally, right. Go frolic in the woods.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. It is Friday.
Friday. TGIF. So Friday the 13th.
It is Friday the 13th.
When this is released, it will no longer be Friday the 13th.
Wow. That's true.
Friday the 13th, well, 2020.
I'm just, now that you say that, I guess I hadn't realized it yet, but now some freaky stuff might happen.
At least it's not a full moon, though.
I hope something.
That's the freakiest time.
Yeah.
You know that it's real after you've worked in the emergency room for, you know, 10 years.
Is that true?
Oh, boy. Yes.
All right. Give me one example.
Oh, I don't have a specific example, but it's like the really paranoid, schizophrenic type, mental health type people seem to come out of the woodworks. And that is not to say that there's anything wrong with those people,
no.
because that is like a very under talked about state of our society, which I actually feel super privileged that I was able to spend so many years in the emergency room and see society as it really is. You know what I mean? Because we live our lives and we hang out with the same kind of people that we are. We go to the same places every day, follow the same patterns. And then all of a sudden you show up to the emergency room and you're like, whoa, this is going on.
Yeah. Wow.
I think it is awesome. I've always felt so grateful for that experience.
I bet.
It was also a little bit horrific at times, but
yeah,
grateful.
Yeah. Good.
So which one do you want to talk about first? What topic do you want to cover?
I think we should talk about relationships.
Relationships. It's yes.
Sex drive.
Sex drive.
Or lack thereof right now.
Right?
Yes.
Pandemic relationships.
Oh, God. Wow.
We're knee deep in neck deep in a pandemic.
Yeah.
We're facing a winter with lots of unknowns.
Mm-hmm.
And we're in the basement right now.
It's about as low as it can get.
because the children have taken over the first floor or upstairs for homeschooling.
Which is good. Good for them.
So that's what's going on. So, you know, what do you think about, or, you know, when I did come up with this topic myself, so I'm going to take ownership of that. So what did you think about when I brought up this topic of relationships?
Massively important, especially now, for those of us out there who are going through this somewhat alone, very difficult.
Single.
And I have a feeling that relationships, people that are together throughout this are having a very difficult time as well.
Yes.
I'm sick of looking at your face.
Yes.
Put your feet down, like all, right?
Stop chewing
like,
so loud.
Yeah, just, you're right. Really getting on my nerves.
Right. And that's where, I think that's why I came up with it, because it's in with my patients, I'm hearing it from everyone. I'm hearing it from the elderly people who live alone. I'm hearing it from the single person who wants to find a mate, and I'm hearing it from the married people. And it's kind of all the same thing in different, with lots of variations, but the struggle is there, and it's a direct result of the pandemic and the stay at home and the isolation and not being able to do your normal routines. And I thought about it and I'm like, this is for everyone. Cause there's different types of relationships, right? There's three, or I actually said there's three types of pandemic relationships. So there's the people who are together, living together, they get along. And now they're starting to feel kind of crusty with each other.
Mm-hmm.
There's people who have been together and they weren't even getting along before the pandemic. And there's a lot of those people. And they're actually finally starting to be like, what is going on? Like, what am I doing here? There's the single people who aren't looking. So the elderly or people who are just not interested in finding another person. And then there's the single people who are looking. And that one is really tricky. And I'm not there, but I've just heard it from a lot of people in terms of like, how do you date in a pandemic?
Yeah, I mean, good question. I don't know.
Like, you can't all be like that couple in, was it New York City that met across the alley on their balconies and they got married recently?
Yeah.
Did you hear about that?
I've heard that, yeah.
Right. So we all obviously can't be like that. Actually, I think it was in Europe, but. So what do you think the reason is for this relationship difficulty?
Even if you were as happy as you could possibly be in a relationship, things just get on your nerves, right? Little things. It doesn't have to be major. just little things. I think the most difficult thing right now is when somebody leaves and goes to work, right? They go their separate ways. They come back and it's like, oh, nice to see you. Great day. When you don't have that, or you're working from home, or you're having these like meetings, these Zoom meetings, there's just so many of them. And that's annoying.
Right.
So to be around that person that you probably have never spent that much time with,
right,
ever.
Right.
That's different.
Very
that's
different.
Real different.
Yeah. I can tell you in our household, the chewing annoyance has taken on a whole nother level. And that's with the kids. Like the kids, we literally can't chew a potato chip or anything. Anything hard, we like can't chew in front of our children.
Somebody snaps the neck and is like, really? Right now? Yes. That's what's happening?
Yeah. So John and I walk around the house and we're like, if I eat something that's crunchy, I literally hide in our pantry because it's a walk-in pantry. Then I shut the door and I chew.
You have to take video of that. And we should post that. Just watching you hide to eat a cookie.
Or at the dinner table. Even last night, my oldest daughter said, okay, keep talking. Because she was embarrassed that like we would get annoyed by her chewing. And I was like, uh-uh, honey, don't worry. Like, I'm not annoyed. That's all you.
Yeah, that's in your head.
Right. And, yes. And that's with children. But, what I've heard from spouses is it's just the spouse chewing or their hygiene or the way they are not doing things correctly with taking care of the household. And I mean, everything's just amplified times 100.
Yes.
So, I think part of it is when you think about it, everyone's learning too much about everyone else. You know, relationships are kind of like two circles that come together where part of you join and then you still have your independent part. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So it's like two circles intersecting and the center part is your relationship.
The Venn diagram, if you will.
Yeah, thank you.
Yes.
Thank you. Well,
okay.
But right now the Venn diagram is getting smashed into one circle with just a tiny little peripheral self area.
That could be dangerous.
Super dangerous. And so, you know what? And the other thing too, is I would say, that's a problem. You have, people who aren't taking care of themselves as well. So there's a grooming thing, you know, we're not taking care of our hair as much. We're not maybe shaving as much. Maybe everyone's gained the pandemic 10 to 15 pounds. And it's not to say that stuff is bad, but I think there's a different level of, you know, there's an importance of how you present yourself to the person that you're with in a way that's attractive, right?
Yeah, no question.
You know, and people aren't trying as hard right now.
So we went through when we had our first, you know, shutdown back in March, April, May, you know, that really threw people for a loop.
Right.
Because we were like, what is this? And then summer came, everybody got outside. Everybody was happy. Now we're coming into it again, right? The so-called second wave.
Right.
Do you think the people that you're talking about, these patients, do you think it's because they've already been through it, they don't want to go through it again?
Oh, absolutely.
Right?
Right.
So, like, how scary is that? What if we have to go into an absolute shutdown? What are people going to do?
We all have pandemic fatigue. We're burnt out. I mean, the first time, at least some of us were, I mean, I remember just feeling like, oh my gosh, this is a gift. I have more time with my children. I am cooking more. I can sleep in a little bit more. And I was fortunate at the time that I wasn't feeling the finance, like I could still pay my mortgage. You know what I mean? So there were a lot of people in that situation. There was obviously a lot of people in the opposite situation and still are. And it's getting worse. Which is another problem.
It is getting worse.
It's getting worse. And so really the first time it happened, you know, more people had reserves, more people had that nest egg saved up for something like this to happen. And now second round, who's had a chance to reboot or refund that nest egg? Not many people.
No.
So it's super, super scary. And I think that leads into the whole relationship thing too. One of the reasons why people aren't connecting as well or not feeling so into their relationships is just the stress level. So, and we've talked about this before, but when you're under a state of chronic stress, no matter what the stressor is, but most of us are in a state of chronic stress right now, it literally directs your body's production of hormones away from those that nurture connecting, sexuality, away from that. Because you're in survival mode. When you're under stress and you have high cortisol levels, your body is in survival mode. And why the hell would you want to reproduce when you're trying to survive? So your body's very smart. Your brain is very smart. But it doesn't know the difference between stress that comes from a pandemic or financial stress or being chased by a tiger. Does that make sense?
Wow, that's crazy.
So, and that's like completely proven over and over and over again. And that's why, you know, people who are under high states of stress, or like endurance athletes who are constantly stressing their body with exercise, you know, just people whose bodies are under intense stress will not reproduce because they don't ovulate. They don't make healthy sperm. They don't do that. And so, and also you're not making the hormones that want you to make you want to be with someone. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it all makes sense. The cool, you know, it's just all about awareness. So it's just understanding that and just being like, I'm not crazy. Or I actually do love my husband, but my body's, I'm just stressed. And I'm actually showing the side effects of that stress.
Fighting against yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if you're a woman who's tuned in with your body, you know how you feel during your cycle. If you're not on hormone replacement, either birth control or you know, hormone replacement when you're postmenopause. So women who cycle and know how they cycle, they know that that week before they get their period, they start to feel angry, raw, bitchy. And not bitchy in a bad way. Like, I like the word bitch. I like being a bitch sometimes. I think it's powerful.
Mm-hmm.
You realize, and then you just accept it. You're like, this is okay. I'm going to get my period in a couple of days. And I'm just going through that time.
We know.
Yeah.
So we know.
You get to the point where you know it. And I literally tell my husband and my kids, I'll be like, guys, I'm really raw right now. Don't press the buttons.
Yeah. And good thing that's not falling on the Friday the 13th.
No, right. Right. So another example of this is in the last 2 weeks, I had a stretch of a lot of work, just a ton of work, and I knew it. And I know going into that, obviously I can try to take care of myself as much as I want to. And I make sure I sleep and eat healthy and yada, yada, yada. But I also knew that I had to I would be a little crabbier and I'd be a little bit less loving and intimate.
Hmm.
And I'm like, it is what it is. I'm putting myself through the grind, you know, and then you share that and you let your loved ones know that. So that they can support you. Like, so John actually supports me during those times. Like, he'll help make dinners for me and he'll get my oil changed and, you know, he kind of takes care of me.
Has that always been easy for you to do?
No.
To admit that to someone?
Nope.
So when did that start? Or
in the
why?
I would say in the last, you know, 5, 6, 7 years. And it was just, it was more of a vulnerability thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it was more of a learning the difference between masculinity and femininity, which I struggle with all the time. I tend to be more towards the dude.
Yeah, sure. Right.
I don't know if I should say it that way, but you know, I'm a business owner. I'm a leader. I'm a physician. And so I'm just kind of like always like get shit done, mm-hmm. take control of things. And one of the really cool things that I learned in the last so many years was to nurture my feminine side because it's awesome. I love it. It's amazing. Amazing.
So in getting back to relationships then, and you, because I think that's a really incredible point. I don't think people talk about that enough, is letting someone know when you're in a situation or you feel a situation coming on, whatever it is, listen, I'm not trying to be an asshole, right?
Right.
But this is what's going on in my head and my life right now.
Right. And my body.
Help adjust with me, if you will.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, obviously right now, pandemic relationships, a lot of people don't know where the other person's coming from.
Right.
And why are those little things annoying you? Talk about it.
Right.
Got to talk about it. People aren't talking enough either.
Right. And so, and I would say talk about it and then make a plan for it. So if you need to make a plan for forced time apart or, you know, doing some things differently. And I think I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit. I kind of wanted to talk about single people and loneliness in the pandemic as well.
Yeah.
I want to hear your perspective on that and, you know, what that's been like and anything you've found that has helped with that or any advice, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. I haven't put too much emphasis on it.
Yeah.
So I think I'm one of the lucky ones. I'm just kind of going through my day how I normally would, at least trying to, you know, with work, I'm really busy.
Right.
I've accepted that we are in this time and I'm not trying to fight it. So for me, I think I'm doing okay.
Okay. And maybe it's easier to be the single person now than the people in relationships and households, who knows?
Yeah. I mean, I certainly have friends that are still on, you know, every dating app and trying to meet people. And I haven't done a deep dive with them as to why they have to have it right now,
right,
with everything going on.
Right.
Because it is a different world and there's a ton of stress and very strange things out there.
Well, and the intimacy piece with that is, I mean, there are people who are choosing to get tested and quarantine and then be together, even though they don't necessarily want to be together, but just so that they have that physical intimacy. Totally. I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on.
Of course.
And then another thing that I heard recently was, you know, with everything going on politically, it's hard to date because if you're on one side or the other, there's no coming to the middle. I heard of someone who was on a date. The date asked him a question about his religious preference, something religious. And when she heard what his preference was, she stood up and left the bar.
Stop.
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
See, I don't get that.
But I think that's happening all over the place.
No, I believe it. I just, that's so absurd.
Yeah. So, and that's obviously a different conversation, but you know, relationships overall are hard. And the other thing I want to talk about before we get ahead to like more and more of action items that people can do is one of the issues I think people are finding too with the pandemic and relationships and sexuality is self-love and loving yourself, because there's been weight gain, there's been less exercise, there's been stress-associated body changes. I mean, people are losing hair, people are not putting makeup on as much, you know, maybe just not grooming as much, and there's a little bit a level of lack of self-love and self-care. And so that makes it harder to like all of a sudden be with someone and try to be open and intimate and connect with them because you feel like crap about yourself. So I think that's another important point.
It is.
Huge. And that's always important, but I think it's been highlighted a little bit more now.
Yes.
So let me think. So I guess my whole point in talking about relationships was obviously we want to give people action items as if you're in the situation and any of this is ringing true with you, whether you're single or with someone, or even if you're struggling with your family relationships. This doesn't have to be an intimate, you know, sexual relationship. If you're just struggling with your family relationships because of all of the closeness, what can you actually do to make it better? Because we have a long road ahead of us, I believe.
This is just the beginning.
This
right
is just
now.
The beginning.
Right. Yes.
And so you can choose to let it crush you and stagnate you and zap your flow, or you can use it to open yourself to new possibilities, right?
Absolutely.
So I was, you know, some of the things you can do is working on yourself first, realizing like, hey, maybe I've let things go a little bit. And I'm not talking about losing weight. I don't care about you losing weight. I'm talking about just like getting up, showering, brushing your teeth,
getting dressed. You know, that was one of the things that really helped me throughout all of it.
Yes.
Truly though, was even being stuck at home was getting up and going through that routine.
Totally agree.
It was such a major help for me. And I've talked to so many people who are like, I can't break out of this cycle.
Right.
And just as you described, get your ass up, take an awesome shower.
Yes.
Groom a little bit.
Right.
And get dressed. Right. Even if you're not leaving.
I totally
agree.
Make a
cup of coffee.
Do you think
it
makes...
Have a good outlook.
What do you think about planning your wardrobe the night before? Do you ever do that?
I mean,
you don't need to because that's your mastery is your style, but...
No, I struggle with it. Sure. So... But that's kind of the fun thing for me because I'll have this vision of what I will do the night before. And then the next morning, it's the exact opposite.
And then he walks in the door and you're just like, whoa, that is cool. I have a side note.
Yeah.
So
side note.
Jimmy picked out an outfit for me. He helps me, you know, says, hey, you should get this. And the other day I wore everything I was wearing with stuff he had picked out. And I went to the mall to get some underwear with my son, something like that. And I literally had 10 compliments from spontaneous random strangers on my outfit, on my purse, on my jacket. And none of it was that expensive.
Mm-hmm.
None of it was fancy. And I was just so embarrassed. I was almost embarrassed because I'm not someone that like knows about style. And so I felt like almost like an imposter because I'm like, I didn't really pick this out. But it's pretty cool, huh? So
that's
just
awesome.
It's just so cool. So, but I would say like what I'm trying to do, and what I was going to try to, you know, John and I were actually going to try to do this. He doesn't know this yet, but is maybe pick out our outfits the night before, because otherwise mornings are so busy when you have kids and you're trying to get in your Zoom meeting and get the kids ready for their school and make breakfast and clean and whatever. Pick it out the night before. Other thing is you already talked about this, but have open conversations. So be, you know, real honest with the people in your household about this and say the struggle is real. Like, what can we do? This is how I'm feeling. This is what I've been doing. I've actually literally said this to John, as I said, this is what I've been doing to help myself and better myself. Like,
yeah.
What do you want to do?
No, and you know what? It's not just letting others know what you're feeling. It's asking them. and caring about how they are feeling.
Yes.
What are you going through?
Yes.
What are you thinking? I mean, how many people really do that?
I
don't know many.
No, and I love that you say that because I tend to be more of a me person.
Yeah.
And I have to work to be not a me person.
I don't want to guess how you're feeling.
Right.
If you're feeling down, yeah. If you're feeling amazing, great.
Right.
But I don't want to tell me.
Right. Yeah. And then curb the stress. So this is, you know, if you haven't listened to our prior episodes about stress and resiliency and how you can, you know, fortify your body despite high levels of stress, you need to, because that's the most important thing, because for the rest of your life, you are not going to be able to control your external stressors completely. You can modify them and you can get rid of some of them, but you're not going to be able to control them. Like obviously right now we can't control a damn thing about a lot of our external stressors. So the more you fortify your body and learn how to make it strong in the face of stress and fear, you will be so much better. So when that stressor happens, your body will not release that flood of stress hormones. And then your body won't shut down on your reproductive side and your relationship side. And you'll feel warm and lovey and open and happy and intimate and affectionate.
Yeah.
It's not that hard. You have to just practice it. You have to practice it. What do you think about that?
No, I totally agree. I think this is going to help a lot of people. Just the communication, the openness.
Right. And then also,
don't shut down on us.
No, don't shut down. And then the other thing is get some help. And I talk about this openly. I have a tribe of healers, I call them. And some of them might be my friends. Some of them might be, I have an energy healer I see. Some of them are my fitness people. But have a tribe, ask for help. If you need help, go to counseling, go wherever you need to go and get help, talk to your doctor. And then
email us,
live a holistic life. So, you know, the diet, the exercise, getting outside, getting good sleep, that stuff is all really, really important. And then you can actually, there's some hacks too. So if, you know, in my clinic, when I do one-on-one stuff, I'm using hormones. You know, I use testosterone in some women when they have a low sex drive. I have them on supplements that support their adrenal glands, and maca helps with, that sexual well-being. Like there's things you can do. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to live a perfect lifestyle and to have a fairly healthy, good feeling body. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like a complex web, but work on all of it.
Yes. If you are struggling and you need help, we'll help you out. We'll point you in the right direction.
Yeah, for sure.
Right?
Oh yeah. I love that.
Send an email. Slide into our DMs
100%.
At Doc and James Show.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
There's a lot of people that don't want to admit it, especially guys. Guys are tough.
They are tough. And I forget that it's hard to admit it because I'm a fairly open book about that stuff. And so just this last week, I think I had 3 patients who said to me, I'm really embarrassed to talk about this.
Isn't that wild? And you shouldn't be.
And
I get it because I used to be also.
This one guy, I actually interrupted him. I'm like, what, you can't get it up anymore? Because I thought that's what he's going to say, because he's like, this is really hard to talk about. He's like, oh, no, that's fine. He's like, I just feel really emotional sometimes. And I was like, oh, my gosh.
Right.
I would never even think it would be hard to talk about that.
Oh my God. So hard.
Right.
Yeah.
So talk about it.
Talk about it.
Okay. Thank you.
Good.
So docandjamesshow@gmail.com. Like our podcast, share our podcast. We're trying to get it out there.
Yeah. We want to help.
We want to help.
Have fun.
We're having fun doing this.
Right?
And we'd love to hear from you.
Yep. Good. Cheers.
Adios.